Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face.
Oh my God, I hate everyone on this planet except for you two. Oh. Fuck.
Me too? You don't hate me either?
I don't hate you even a little bit.
I hate you.
What about when the day we were trying to do speed?
I just hate you sometimes.
Yeah. When we tried to do speed, you hated me.
When we try to do speed?
I generally hate you over text.
Not like the drug speed, the movie speed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 299. This is motherfucking Jorge.
Buenos ding dong diddly dias. This is Maddie Ding Dong.
This is Red.
That's
what's up, homies?
Sorted.
I'm coming into this with fucking anger and hatred.
That's all we got to do.
So y'all better step out of the way.
Willow? We just got to indulge. No, I didn't watch it.
You didn't watch Willow, dude.
I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm over here like, this is not Willow.
That movie's long. I'm going to watch it.
It's 2 hours and 6 minutes.
I'm
going to
watch it, but it was a lot longer than I thought it was.
I have some thoughts and some opinions about Willow, which we'll be getting into.
Yeah, we'll get into Willow.
Okay, okay, thanks.
He's like, okay, we will be getting to that.
He's like, damn, I was all worked up for some peck.
I was fucking, I had it ready to go.
Out of the way.
He's like, I brought some fucking black root.
Yeah, so we're having upcoming Patreon episode exclusive about Willow.
Oh, God.
Fucking Willow.
Willow.
I guess Patreon is the place where we can do non-horror movies. It's kind of good, though, just being able to do
non-horror stuff. Oh, boy, so how you guys been?
I'm not doing anything.
I've definitely been settling into my views at work.
What do you mean?
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, what does that even mean?
I think just Red has like this like catalog of like things in his head that he's like, I'm gonna go with settle it into like my
spins,
views.
Spins a Rolex.
Yeah, he spins a Rolex.
His whole
and then
fucking
one comes
brain
out and goes,
is like a Mad Lib.
That's what everyone does every time they speak. Actually,
well, I mean, but that's literally true.
You've seen Terminator where it has like a list of stuff of responses, and it's like. Fuck you, asshole.
It's just Mad Libs, bro.
But no, it's just I'm feeling very empowered. I'm learning a lot of stuff. There's quite a bit to do. And I'm adjusting to the workload and making the necessary changes and really, really managing my time and energy better. And it's just really empowering.
Good.
I'm glad you've adjusted. I brought my dad back to life.
Yeah,
right
you
now.
Did. You resurrected your dad for a second. Ready?
Glad you've adjusted to taking on the loads.
Adjusting to the loads. Ah. Well, wait a minute. What
you've
you,
always been
I get
good
what
at
you're
taking
saying.
Loads.
You're yeah. trying to say like something about like loads.
Yeah, the load that you said you've been
oh,
taking.
Boy. How about you, Matt? How you doing?
The fucking same.
Same old shit.
I'm
you're
not doing anything.
Your baby bird bones are still
I'm gonna
fucked
get
up.
Surgery soon. That's fun. We talked about that.
You're waiting until after Mitch shows up so you can fucking lift.
Well, no, they. I guess they're gonna call me next week, and then we're gonna figure it out. So probably within 2 weeks.
Wow.
So yeah, by the time the next episode comes out, I'll probably have had surgery. Fun
what
stuff.
Does that mean?
I don't think we'll miss an episode.
Fuck off.
So there's that, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just a non-invasive thing.
Dude, I hope that this surgery goes well and you're out of fucking pain because the last time I saw you, I thought you were going to die.
That sucked, yeah. I had to walk around with a cane. That wasn't just to look cool as fuck. That was actually needed. So
yeah, which I was not aware of till the end of the show.
Yeah, Red's like, oh, like, I thought oh, it was just a cool-ass cane.
He's stoned with a cane.
He's all, you ready to go lift? Oh, Jesus, no.
I was like, let's go, shoulder time. And Red's like, bro, are you sure? And I'm like, shoulders? Like, I don't need my
it's
fucking
like you
hip
forget,
for shoulders.
It's like you forget that your shoulders are connected to your spine.
I mean, but like, everything is, so
exactly.
Like, everything's connected to the universe, man, and like the universe is hurting too. So like, should we just not do anything ever? No, it doesn't make any fucking
That's
sense.
That's my shit right there, dude. You can't do it.
You can't claim all of that shit.
That's right.
So I mean, yeah, I claim the middle.
Me claim.
Yeah, I mean you.
I can claim.
He's like, I can, and I will.
Anytime somebody starts talking about like existential dread, he's like, you're doing my shit now.
Yeah, I discovered meaning.
Yeah. Like, what, you want me to
all
come in here and
is
just
connected to me?
Say, show me the tits?
Look,
like,
dude.
Take your bit now?
I brought meaning to this show.
Look, dude, when we talk about like the nucleus is connected to the electrons, that's my shit.
That's my shit.
You know that hard-on collider? I'm just gonna keep bringing.
Oh, that is my shit.
There's some hard on Collider. There's some hard on Collider shit in Willow, which we'll talk about.
Is there another animal that Rhett's never heard of?
Yep.
Which one? That little Willow. Wait, are you talking about
Willow? Yeah. Talking?
Dude, wait. See, I wanted to talk about the dude who's like.
We'll talk about the dude.
Kill the beast. Find the child.
That shit's dope. Yeah, we'll talk. Matthew,
so many lines like that.
Next time when we get around.
Okay.
To Willow.
Have you seen, played, listened to anything?
I mean, so like, I've been listening to a fuckload of K-pop.
Well, I mean, that's no like, different.
I played Dead by Daylight, ass, man. And Dead by Daylight has a new killer, which is a K-pop star, which is. Fucking tight, dude.
What's the backstory behind this killer?
So, the killer is a former K-pop idol, and the survivor is a K-pop music producer. She was a failed idol, but got an internship at the record label. She got assigned to this like failing boy group, and she found this other guy and brought him into this boy group. The boy group became huge. While they were recording their second album, there was a fire and everybody in the boy band died except for the guy that she brought in.
Good, good.
So then they start working together, but while they're on tour, these bodies start disappearing.
You're not tracking him anymore, are you? Me either.
All kinds of stuff like that. Basically, it's the killer used to be in a boy band. He let his band die and murdered a bunch of other people because he got a taste for death. And
you said he looks like Kakihara?
Yeah, fuck yeah. He looks. All he needs is the little like slits in his mouth.
Are you talking about Perfect Blue, dude?
And he'll look like... No, Kakihara from Itchy the Killer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
But yeah.
That's what I meant. That's what I meant.
I'm testing you.
That looks... That looks
tetsoing you.
I played a little bit of the PTB, uh-huh. The player test build, so I'll be playing Killer coming up soon. There's a game that came out called Retro Mania Wrestling that I've been playing. It's basically like the wrestling games from the old arcade days. Mm-hmm. That's super fun. Preparing for episode 300, I've been watching some of the movies on our best of list.
Is there a significant amount of those movies that you haven't seen?
I mean, I have the memory of a goldfish. So that is true. I basically haven't seen any of them.
He hasn't seen any movies, according to his memory. Yeah.
I watched.
What's a movie?
I watched Super Dark Times.
That's a good movie.
That is a good movie. I watched Starry Eyes. That's also a good movie.
Are you preparing for
I watched Green Room. That's also a good movie.
Slightly better than the other two you mentioned, I would say. Actually.
So I got to do some more work on that. I plan on watching The Wailing coming up.
Good.
There's some other shit like that. I was going through the list. There's some stuff that I have no interest in watching, but then there's some stuff where I was like, man, that's really good, but I don't remember any of it. So I should really watch it again so I can argue whether it's better than something else or not. And then we've been binging the shit out of Breaking Bad, but we were doing that last episode. We're still doing it. We're like halfway through season 4 now.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. It's basically,
you're making good time.
That's basically all we watch. Ollie gets home from work. We put on Breaking Bad and we'll watch it for like 5 hours until we pass out.
Damn, man. Sucker.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's good stuff. Good stuff.
Sucker.
So Ronnie and I started watching, season 3 of True Detective. Mm-hmm. She hasn't seen season 1. But it doesn't matter.
They're not connected. There's still,
I know, but season 1 is like the best one.
So what I wanted to do.
It's one of the best things ever.
Yeah, that's what I was telling Ronnie. I was like, dude, just wait.
So you're just going to give her tip before
the whole time you're watching it, this is good, but just wait.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm doing. Because I was like, look, are you enjoying this? I was like, do you like this? Do you like this atmosphere? Just wait till we hit season 1.
So he's starting with the just wait till we work backwards.
Skip season 2 and go straight to
what's
season
1. What's even more interesting is there's mentions of stuff in season 1 in season 3, and I'm like, oh. But by the way, season 3 is fantastic.
Good.
Maharshali Ali.
That's new?
It's the newest 3? One. Well, it's the newest one.
But like...
You're right there, buddy?
It's a lot of plants. Plant-based.
But yeah, no, it's fantastic. It's not better than season 1, but it's real fucking good. It works kind of similar to the 3 timeline deal, and it's real good. I started playing a little game called Luck Be a Landlord.
Okay,
it's Luck Be a Lady.
It's Luck Be a Landlord, and tonight. It is a roguelite.
Luck be a landlord tonight. That's called Monopoly.
Big like surprise. And it is basically a slot machine-based Metroidvania.
Oh. Mm.
It's fucking crazy.
That kind of sounds cool.
It's pretty cool, dude. So like you basically so you start off with like a semi blank slot machine and you pick items like you would in like or you get items like you would in like a Binding of Isaac kind of deal. And so they're different, there's different interactions. So like if you get like card suits, mm-hmm. you could get like a Joker that interacts with those card suits, or like there's flowers that interact with sun and water and rain. And they do all kinds of weird stuff. It's unbelievably addicting and super simple, but also super complex, like on the mechanic side. And I highly recommend Luck Be a Landlord. It's on.
I didn't register anything you just said, but it sounds like you enjoy it.
It's so fun.
Hell yeah.
It's like a side-scrolling Metroidvania, but with no movement.
Huh. What?
Yeah, you're just at a slot machine. That's it. It's fantastic. Highly recommended.
Okay. I'm lost.
You would have to watch like a video of somebody playing it to like really like or play it yourself to get the gist of it, but it's fantastic.
Right on. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. What about you, Rhett? What 2000 things have you watched this week?
Honestly, we just met on Saturday a few days ago.
A long time ago.
Well, I mean,
that's true.
Yeah, because I met this fool like 8 years ago, 9 years ago.
Nine.
Well, chances are being that if you have an infinite amount of time and a finite amount of energy, an unfathomable amount of energy, but still finite ultimately, that means every combination's already occurred infinite amount of times and will continue to. So no one met anything. Like it's already happened.
Or no, you've already met them infinite amount of times.
And every possible combination.
In the multiverse.
Yeah, and every fucking possible combination at the same time.
Like there's versions of us talking at this table where we're like rotated, like, or even just moved over.
Or
we're
all literally doing a circle jerk, not just a metaphorical one. We're actually jerking.
Or like we're the ones with the hair and you're bald.
We should make that happen.
I literally almost did that today.
You should do
also, I've had so much caffeine right now that I feel like I'm on another planet. You guys feel like look kind of spacey. So like, I'm like looking at Rhett talk and I'm just like, oh,
you're having a fucking super jail out of body experience.
Oh, why, dude?
What super jail?
What's with the caffeine intake?
It's right in front of him. Things that are tasty.
Oh,
it's like if Bang didn't have caffeine, I would still drink it. But guess what? It does.
It
like,
do be having caffeine.
Yeah.
All right, continue, dude.
I watched. I forgot to mention this last time. The Big Sick.
It's a crazy.
No, you did mention that.
No, I mentioned it to you guys via text, but not on the show.
Are you sure? Because I was pretty sure you mentioned it on the show, and I looked it up.
Yeah, he didn't.
Goldfish fucker.
Yeah, you are a goldfish fucker.
I didn't mention it on the show. I forgot.
You did not.
I didn't. Promise. I even have my list from last show on here.
Quit fucking making that noise!
Yeah. Good. Thank you for checking up on me, though. What? Oh, so the movie's fucking, that's a great movie. I had heard a lot about it when it came out a couple years ago.
Kumail Nanjiani.
It actually got nominated for fucking like best original screenplay I was looking at.
Him and his wife worked on that.
Yeah. Pseudo autobiographical thing. A delightful film. Delightful. I believe it's on Amazon or Hulu, one of the two. I would recommend that to fucking pretty much anybody. Also good to see Ray Romano.
Like not being a terrible thing,
yeah.
Is it good to see Holly Hunter in anything?
Not being a terrible... No, she's always been a pretty good actress, but I didn't know she was still alive.
Talking about the girl from Mad About You?
Holly Hunter?
Yeah.
No, that's fucking... What was the theme song that's Helen
for
Hunt.
Mad About You?
Helen Hunt was in that fucking...
I think it was Frogger! Instrumental, wasn't it?
What? Was it the theme song for Mad About You?
I can't remember.
I think it was just all instrumental. I don't think there was lyrics.
I don't think we should go down this road right now. But
I know what you're thinking. Don't go down that road.
I watched a movie for the second time that I mentioned a while back called Compliance. I really want to fucking do this on a Patreon episode or something. Because...
Yeah, I told you.
Paul Reiser, every time I look at that motherfucker, you know what I think of, right?
What?
It's Burke from Aliens.
I love you like I do. Tell me who. What can I not as much as you?
Frasier is way better than this fucking show. But I don't know what to do with them tossed salad and scrambled eggs.
Wait, is that really the lyrics?
Yeah, it's fucking dumb. I love it.
I don't remember this song. This is probably just like the first season.
This is the Mad About You podcast.
Yeah. All right, we're going to have to pay for that.
Turn that bitch on.
We're paying for that for sure.
Compliance.
And that's no good a reason for getting all depressed. That's it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's all right.
It's in my head. I can't.
Compliance. You got to see this movie.
Compliance.
Compliance.
I will not comply.
Dude,
what are you going to do, cancel
it's
me?
It's based on a fucking true story. Not only did it happen, it would be completely unbelievable, except not only did it happen, but it happened about 70 times.
Oh, that's
times.
The McDonald's one.
Yeah. You guys have to fuck. It is so.
Where do you watch this?
Oh, is that the McDonald's? Amazon. The McDonald's game one?
No, it's no. The one where they fucking, a guy calls them saying he's a cop, and one thing leads to another based upon just the power structure of people believing he's a cop. And pretty soon people are strip searching someone, and pretty soon I can't tell you. You won't believe where this goes. Crazy. Not only did it fucking happen, but it happened like 70 times across the country, and it says a lot of really fucking just flat out unsettling, disturbing shit about human nature. Because, you know, anyone could be like, "Oh, I wouldn't listen," but you're watching this, you're like, why the fuck would anyone listen to this?
They turn the lens on you, dude.
That's right.
Dude. Do you guys remember that McDonald's down south where that massacre happened down in San Isidro?
Yeah. Jennifer Wood's dad was the fucking first guy who responded to that.
You showed me the recording, dude.
No way.
Yes way.
That's crazy.
Yes way.
That was like 30 years ago?
30 years ago.
Something like that?
Yeah, in the 80s.
Fucking crazy.
It's dope.
I mean, it's not
I've stayed in that lovely motel next to that McDonald's, too.
I got robbed in gunpoint across the street from that McDonald's.
There was a Southwestern College, like, satellite school right there, right?
Yeah.
A lot of good history right there on that block.
Yeah, good stuff.
Compliance. I'd recommend that.
Compliance?
I really would like to. I'd call it a horror film.
I'd call you a horror film.
I watched, Minari.
Yes. Oh, I'm excited to see that.
You know, are you?
Yeah.
You should be. Farm? Are you serious? I thought you were being super fucking dude.
No, I'm in.
Yeah,
I
watched Nomadland recently before, and Minari we watched last weekend right before the garbage-ass Golden Globes, but I am super glad it won Best Foreign Film. That movie's fucking gorgeous. It's a beautiful movie.
I think most of the stuff that Stephen has done outside of Walking Dead, Walking Dead, is he's a fantastic actor.
Yeah,
like even like
Mayhem.
Mayhem, I thought he was great in Mayhem.
Yeah. I like Mayhem more than Belko.
I agree.
I have yet to see
Mayhem.
But
it sucks because somebody I liked did Belko. I think that was Greg McLean.
Belko was pretty good. Belko, I really enjoyed. I just think Mayhem was an overall better movie.
Have you seen Wolf Creek, Rhett?
Wolf Creek.
No, I haven't.
Wolf Creek.
Ooh. And I've heard...
Wolf Creek.
Is it like survival horror type business?
No, not
it
really.
It sounds like it.
It's like...
I haven't seen that or Eden Lake. There's a few on a list that...
Did we do Eden Lake?
I feel like we did a movie about a lake.
I think we did a couple like around the same time. We did Eden Lake and then
Lake Placid.
We might have done Lake Placid. We did that other one.
I hope you didn't do Lake Placid.
We did like three movies where it was like people camping and then like getting dragged out of their tent and like beaten to death.
That was Eden
Lake. That's called the Friday the 13th.
One of them was
series.
Eden Lake. There was like three of them. I forgot what the rest of them were.
So
ain't no good excuse for getting all depressed.
You're gonna piss him off.
Not really. No, I'm just... Because the thing is, I'll listen to it later, and I'll be like, dude, you should have gone with the joke. But no, you had to be stubborn. Because I can't track. You guys are just bouncing
sometimes
around.
Sometimes you don't realize it in the moment.
No, yeah. You don't.
You don't.
But I got this one going on.
You don't. You're basic.
Minari, yeah. I don't like... I never liked that.
I don't like Minari either.
No, you're basic.
He said it.
Bitch, you're basic. Garbage. Garbage-ass meme you guys had going there. All right. I have been listening to a couple things. One is a band called, it's a lovely name, Lice. Like the shit that's in
Let
your
me guess,
hair.
Is their music go?
No, that's Code Orange.
Oh,
no.
Shit.
No.
Oh, okay,
no.
Wait.
No, they toured with Idols, actually. But
oh.
No, they're art punk, but it has like prog elements and post-punk. And they're from Britain, and they're really, really good.
Okay.
They have an album called Wasteland.
Hey, if they've toured with Idols, I'm in.
Well, I posted them on the good old Discord. They have an album called Wasteland that's pretty pretty good. And then there's a band I found called Viagra Boys.
Yeah.
That's us.
They're like the Venga Boys.
They're right? A Swedish post-punk band, and they got a new album out, and it's pretty fun. I think you would like the single particularly. And then...
Oh, listen on the break and report back.
You know who Johan Johansson is, correct?
Yes.
That guy, that poor fellow, he's a composer. He composed Sicario, Arrival, Mandy. Fucking great composer. He overdosed. He died a couple years ago. Mandy was the last score. It's tight because Mandy has a song called fucking Death and Ashes that's just gorgeous. And that guy was, he was like close. He was like, that's the last shit he wrote before he fucking overdosed. Anyway.
It's like the ultimate warrior, dude.
They have a Johan Johansson retrospective album of rarities he did. And all this stuff's on Spotify. And it's fucking, you know, unsurprisingly gorgeous.
Yeah, I bet.
It's great stuff. So, yeah, those three is what I'm listening to currently. But, yeah, Minari, though. And guess who the film distributor is, Matt?
Do I really care?
It's A24, homie.
It's A-motherfucking 24.
Imagine that.
Imagine that.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. I like to eat things with my little mouth, too.
Deal with the theater.
Deal with the theater.
Oh, we're going to get canceled for that.
That's.
Anyways. So, yeah, that's. I haven't watched anything else.
Those are our views for the week.
Ah! Wait, I watched a Serbian film.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did.
He did not enjoy it.
I know.
At all.
Well, it's not just... I just don't think it's like... What? Okay. Like, you saw how I fucking... Cannibal Holocaust. And, you know, I'm not like anti this kind of thing. And certainly... what was the other one?
Which one?
That we did in December. I Spit on Your Grave.
Yeah.
I found a lot of fucking content and subtext and stuff in there. And people were telling me, it's because it's talking about the Serbian government. It's like, yes, the only way to do that is to have someone fuck a baby. That's clearly the only way to address
don't,
this
issue. Don't fuck the baby.
Also, this fucking guy, like, he was born there and then grew up rich out of the country. So he has, like, no informed perspective about... It's just exploitation, which is obviously what it is. But it's also just avarice. And it's like, well, people, he knew he was going to be in director jail. And it's like, yeah, he knew he'd get immediate notoriety for having someone fuck a baby.
Well, yeah.
Well, that's, so don't, well, no, it's see, not like, he was sacrificing.
Ultimately, I think like the thing that we said was, aside from him fucking the baby and him fucking his son in the end, like, which were two things that were put in purely for shock.
By the way, people listening to this don't know what this literally, that's what in the film.
The film as a whole, like, it's not a bad film in terms of like, the filmmaking of it, but those two spots are all that anybody ever remembers and talks about because those are the ones that were put in there to shock people, and it worked.
Yeah, I didn't find the rest of the film particularly engaging.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not fucking engaging, but it's not bad.
It's not good.
Well,
it's like a nothing so film.
It's somewhere between not good and not bad. Yeah. Somewhere in there. It's somewhere in there.
So not noteworthy or worth watching.
It's not particularly bad.
You got to prepare to watch him fuck a baby.
They've got a baby.
To add insult to injury.
Yeah. You know?
Your boy's really doing some things tonight.
He's on that hot button.
Well, you know, that phrase has been around a while.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. A good while.
Insult to injury.
All right. Should we get to any news?
Only thing I saw that
is anything like, happening in the world right now that's relevant to what we're talking about?
Only thing I saw that was interesting was Stars is doing like
Stars.
What is Stars? Star flowers.
Oh, dude, I've got a little anecdote after you're done.
Stars is doing like HBO Max did, and they are the streaming home for all of the new Lionsgate films this year. So that includes Spiral from the Book of Saw, which I think is
Saw it. From the Book of Saw.
It's a
really good book.
I think it's coming out in May or June this year.
Dumbass title. The Saw Chronicles.
You know,
the Chronicles of fucking Saw.
The Chronicles of sacrifice. Sarnia.
Of Sarnia.
What is wrong with them? What is wrong with us?
What is wrong with them? How wooed?
Wait, no, you can't use W's.
Oh,
two
V's.
It's gotta be two V's. Dude. So did you
I
guys...
love that someone got bent about that.
It was Jacob, of
yeah,
course.
Of course it was Jacob. Did you guys see this fucking... You know who Sia is?
Yeah.
The singer?
Oh, yeah. That movie is supposed to be a piece of shit.
So she...
Wait, there's a movie
we should
about
watch
her?
That shit. So she made... So she spent the last like 4 or 5 years producing a movie where there's an autistic person as like one of the main characters, but she
if it's not John Travolta, I don't care.
They should have called me.
She pulled the fucking Limp Bizkit where she
oh, she went full retard?
Well, no. I mean, kinda. But she cast a normal-ass person as an autistic person, and the internet is not happy with her because she has, like, the main character has, like, an autistic episode where she's, like, on the ground, and there's this move that they pull on them where they're, like, they flatten them down.
They put a blanket over their head like a parrot.
Well, I mean... Not,
shh, go to sleep. It's dark now.
Well, it's very problematic for children who are autistic in terms of, like, the handling of the subject.
Well, what I can tell you is it's tax time. You guys are going to get your refund checks, and you're also going to get your stimulus checks, which is hella tight. And you know what else is going around? People getting canceled, and that shit's expensive. So you boys at the Who Goes There podcast need your help. Send us your stimulus checks to help our cancel fund, because it's going to happen inevitably sooner or later. But in return, we're going to give you exclusive content, bonus merchandise, exclusive episodes. We're going to do an episode on Willow at some point, which is hella tight. And then, we here at the Who Goes There podcast are about nothing if not inclusivity.
That is true.
Clearly.
We include everyone in the shit talking.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, the Who Goes There podcast, watch 2019's, 2021, depending on when you see it, when you have access to it. It's available via Epics on Amazon Prime
with a free trial.
If you get a free trial, damn. So peep that shit while you still can. Saint Maud is directed by Rose Glass and also written by Rose Glass. Starring Morph.
This is what he does, dude. Somebody's name is Morph.
Morphid.
What?
It's M-O-R.
She's probably Welsh, bitch.
F-Y-D-D. Morphid.
That's the first name?
That's her first name. Morphid.
What's the last name?
Clark.
Who's that?
That's Maud.
That's Maud.
Oh, wow.
Jennifer Ellie. Lily Knight.
Significantly easier to say.
Lily Fraser. Turlo Convoy. Marcus Hutton. Noah Bodner.
These are Anglo names. He's fucking struggling all hard. I mean, Morphid, that was a weird one.
I mean,
Clark is not.
All these names are.
I didn't struggle with Clark.
Yeah, you did. You're like Clark.
Clark. Clark. Clark. Clark. Clark. All right. Well, I kind of know where this is going to head, but Matt Smith, what'd you think of Saint Maud?
I'm going to start with Matt.
In 1994, Billy Corgan said the world is a vampire. In 2021, Maud said God is a cockroach, I guess.
What?
So,
what?
Yeah, it's not bad.
God is a cockroach.
Yeah,
Santa sunk on the dick.
It's a movie about loneliness and the religious mind, and it's pretty good. I mean, honestly, this is kind of how you make a movie, because it's on its own at face value. Any idiot can watch it, but you can take as deep amount of meaning as you want from this movie, and it doesn't suffer either way.
What is happening with you?
What do you mean?
What is happening
your
with
views.
Your views?
Yeah, your views.
I mean... Okay,
so is it just because it's anti-Christian that you're like giving it a pass?
No, so the movie, like, I'm watching it
because this movie sucks.
And whoa! As I'm
just kidding.
As I'm watching it, I'm sitting there like trying really hard to like follow the plot, and I'm like, oh wow,
you guys planned that shit.
I was like, the plot's really, really simple. It's easy to follow. Okay, I get what's happening.
Extremely simple.
And then with the ending, you know, like without spoiling, there's no ambiguity about the end. And I'm just like, oh, great.
Great final shot.
That I was like, that's amazing. Because, you know, if this was open to interpretation, I would be really disappointed. But it's not. So that's great.
But it is.
But it's
not.
And
if you think it is, you're wrong. And the movie takes a pretty strong stance with the last phrase. No,
you're wrong.
It is because of William Blake and Marriage of Heaven and Hell business. Yeah. But we will get there.
And I do highly appreciate that it's 90 minutes. It's a very tight 90 minutes. And also it's A24.
An hour and 24 minutes.
So the score is great too. It's like its own little character.
I'm surprised you haven't already busted out with a, did it actually Saint Maud at Night?
I mean, no, see, because that's the difference. Like I said, this movie, you can watch it just as a face value without looking for subtext or anything, and it's still an entertaining movie. It comes at night, you have to like, oh, it's a manifestation, it's this, it's a, like, there's nothing actually there, and it's where like, you have to find the deeper meaning in the subtext, and that's what's scary. Like this, you don't need the subtext. You can watch it at just face value, a surface level like, movie.
This bitch is crazy.
Yeah, you get that feeling and you're like, oh, okay, like this is the problems of being overly religious. But then like, you know,
I mean, more to the point, I would think this is a problem of having a brain tumor, but I can see your point.
I don't think she has a brain tumor.
That's well, we'll talk about it, won't we, dude? Riggedy Rhett, what'd you think?
I'd like to preface it real quick. I know you guys probably love when I do this, Jorge and Matt, but look, the movie was hyped. A24 horror movies are hyped anyway.
Yeah.
And then this was hyped for an additional year in a sense because it was delayed because of COVID. So, I mean, I think it's great that we seem to have adjusted, tried to see the movie just clearly for what it was. You didn't watch any trailers, Matt, before?
I didn't know anything about this same. At all.
Okay. First thing I'll say, it's a directorial debut. Like, this is Rose Glass's first movie. She writes and directs it. That's fucking incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And so, is this, you know, I'll just kind of be flat out. Is this my favorite A24 horror movie? Like, no. Is it a great debut? Yeah. And did I enjoy it? And do I think there's a lot of thematic stuff to chew on? Yeah, fuck yeah. And I think it's a great performance from that Murfid Clark lady.
Morfid.
And once this movie hits the 40-minute mark, 45 minutes, because it's already interesting beforehand and very, like, immersive because, you know, it's got some style and it's really well shot. The stuff you expect from these movies at this point.
Yeah.
But once it hits that 45 minutes and we start having her have visions and fireworks out the window and it goes into this fever dream business the last 30 minutes or so, like, that stuff is very fucking strong. And I do think at first I saw, we drove up.
Hi, Sophia.
We drove up to see this at a drive-in because I wanted to see it somewhere. We wanted somewhere to go a couple weeks before it was available via streaming. And that was, as you can imagine, a different experience. So I was looking forward to seeing it with, you know, better resolution and all that. I remember being struck that I thought it was kind of over-stylized the first time, but then when I watched it at home,
A24 movie over-stylized?
Well, I'm talking about the wallpaper. Well,
there's limits, right? Like,
yeah, but then I realized I rewatched it, the stuff that's over-stylized is this dance lady's apartment. Like, so she's in the arts, so of course she over-stylized her apartment. So even
she's supposed
to
be a bit of a caricature, I think.
Right. She's a bit of an eccentric and all that. And she does, the ensemble cast does a very good job. And it is a pretty fucking simple, straightforward story, just like Matt said.
Well, and then the juxtaposition of like how stylized the apartment is versus how plain and simple Maud is.
And barren.
Yeah. She's very fish out of water, but she's the one that's trying to change her surrounding to fit her versus adapting to her surrounding.
Right. Do I love the movie? Like, honestly, no, I don't love it, but I respect it. I really enjoyed it. And it's a perfectly good horror film. And also what this does, that's most ingenious to me though, it takes the kind of, possession trope, if you will, like, if you will, and kind of turns it on its head. The possession trope is always fucking infernal, and it's always the devil possessing people or the infernal stuff. But in this case, it lays bare this shit, and the person being, she's not possessed, but she believes she is, of sorts. The person who's being possessed, so to speak, is you know, they're believing they're possessed by the idea of a pure Christian God.
Well, into tail end on that, not only is she being possessed, she's also attempting to possess another human,
right?
Which is another interesting factor too. I think
it's like missionary work and all that kind of shit and psychological rape and that, you know. And then There's a line in it where I noticed the second, you know, unsurprisingly, the second time yielded more stuff. But she said, may your suffering not go to waste. Like she says that to a
homeless guy. Yeah.
And it's like, that's the thing. Yeah. Because it's setting up this world where the God she worships uses suffering.
Yep.
And that's like a pretty fucked up trope. And that's not like, oh, that's horror mythology. It's like, no, that's
religion.
That's religious there's mythology. Yeah.
There's two types of God, and it's like, you know, the loving, I forgive you God, and then there's the fire vengeful, and brimstone God.
And the vengeful New Old Testament God.
Either way, it's martyrdom too, even in the New Testament.
I watched this movie with Ronnie, and she was like, well, so why is she doing all this stuff? Why is she hurting herself? And I go, that's the self-flagellation thing.
Why did the Spanish Inquisition happen?
So it's like, to somebody who's not very religious, like my wifey is, you know, she didn't quite understand like why somebody would do these things. And I go, well, it's the religious fervor. Like all of these things are hand in hand with each other. And go ahead.
On what's underneath the religious fervor, like, because it's, you know, and a lot, there's a lot of sexual repression underneath that.
Yeah.
You know, which is nothing new to fucking religious fanatics. You know, you guys might have heard that they have some issue in the Catholic Church and other places where these people are supposed to be celibate and these things get pushed in subterranean places and they act out in really fucked up ways, you know? Yeah. And so, but yeah, I think in Maud, she's got this sexual awakening going on. Concurrent with her spiritual.
I wouldn't even say it's an awakening. I would say it's more repression because they talk later in the movie.
Well, she's pushing it down.
Yeah, yeah. She had more of a wild past and you see her watching her patient, you know, like, so it's not an awakening for her. She's trying to repress all of this. And I think like
self-hatred,
when she punishes herself, all these things that she does, it's like things that she sees that she's done wrong in her past, you know? So she like has repressed all this sexual stuff. And then she's watching her patient, like get it on with a woman. So she's having like all these sexual thoughts. And that's why she has like this
emotionless fuck.
Yeah.
That's why I really got the second.
And then she has the emotionless sex, like with the two guys in the bar, you know, well, I mean the hand job in the bathroom and then the other guy, like, that's the thing is it's not like about an awakening for her. It's about repressing it. She feels guilty for all that stuff because it's not what she should be doing in the eyes of the Lord.
It turns all sex for her into sin.
Yeah.
So there's no self-respect in it or anything beautiful about it.
You're a fucking Catholic.
It's very mechanical and very sinful, I think.
And linked to death because like she's riding the dude and his chest caves in her little hallucination.
She's attempting to give him CPR.
Yeah.
So
it's like spiritual death for her and all that.
So I wanted to chat with you guys a little bit about so she's got these moments more towards the beginning where she has sort of these spontaneous orgasms, you know, when she feels that the Lord is here. And the reason why I brought up the brain tumor thing is that there have been people that have been, you know, have had brain tumors that's the sort of thing that triggers, right? So it's like instantly I'm thinking, okay, she's sick. She's not just like mentally ill, but she's got literally something going on in her brain. And so I'm looking at it and I go, okay, like she's got something that's triggering these like God bombs in her head.
Have you considered that the religious fervor triggered the brain tumor?
Well, yeah, I mean, it could be. So I was coming at it from a couple angles, you know. We've got, you know, she's got a mental illness that is derived from her guilt of her past or whatever. And then B, I'm thinking maybe she just got a big old brain tumor and that's what's triggering all of these visions, all of these fucking psychosomatic orgasms, all of this stuff. Hmm. And even the ending, can we talk about the ending?
Yeah, we could go.
Is it too early for the ending?
I think it might be a little, but no, I mean, we skip around. So if you haven't seen this, we haven't said this recently. If you haven't seen it, you go watch it. I mean, I think we'd all say
I think that. It's well worth a watch. But yeah, before we get too far, I think this movie is pretty great. And I would go ahead and watch before you listen to the rest of this bullshit.
Yeah.
No. I mean, honestly, I thought about a third of the way through, Matt, that you would have been like,
I had no fucking clue where he was going to land with this either. I just had no clue. I wasn't sure where you would land with it.
Yeah.
Because I don't adore the movie. I think it's fucking great, but I don't like, I'm not like, oh, I love it.
So it was definitely like the first third, it was definitely a little difficult to keep interested, I guess, you know, like I was really trying to stay focused, but my mind kept wandering. And then, What part did I kind of start giving a shit?
I think like, the monologuing in the beginning is a little bit difficult to sort of get around, where she's talking, like she's literally narrating what she's got going on. And I'm watching and I go, okay, cool, this is interesting to me. But as I think as somebody who's not like into, so to speak, like...
I don't like monologues. On second view, it helped because I think it helps bring you... the movie would come off a little colder.
Yeah.
Without
it
some
personalizes
kind of,
Maude a little bit.
Yes. Yeah. Which you need. I felt it was beneficial in this case, you know. And then like, you know, the monologue is less frequent and then it's like her speaking directly to God.
Well, later. and it really kind of gives you a front seat to the psychosis, you know, because she is so wrapped up in it, whether it's brain tumor related or not. It really gives you like a front, you know, a front row seat into her. Into her like
her psyche,
into her psyche, and her into
views.
Her internal monologue, which is you know, if you're a normal human, you have that shit all day. You talk about like what you did to yourself, and it's
Matt's like, you do.
It just so happens that the majority of hers is psychotic rambling about fucking religion and having a personal relationship
God
with God.
Is a cockroach.
Yeah.
Well, and then yeah, that's great. She sees the cockroach on the roof. The ceiling, and that's a sign. Well, and that's see, the thing, well, though. If you're looking for signs, you'll
literally
find them
said
everywhere.
That, like,
find
last
them everywhere.
Week. Yeah, yeah, it's like you go looking for a sign, you're going to find what you're looking for, and that's what this movie is. And like honestly, that's like the whole thing with religion. It's like, and I've made this point in the past where with religious people, a lot of the time, it's like when something good happens, it's like, oh, God has blessed us with this. And when something bad happens, it's like, oh, the devil did this. It's not God is testing it. It's always like we're being given something good by God or it's something bad by the devil.
Right. And it's based like, on this fucking binary value judgment of good or bad, and that's it.
Right. And right. Like, you know, it shows that religion is a valuable tool for some people in coping with like loss and just loneliness and
ambiguity.
And all this other stuff.
But people don't know shit and they don't know where shit is. So it's very easy. It's very comforting to whittle the world down into two categories.
Yeah.
Well, good and bad.
And then thinking that there's like a thing that's always going to protect you. But then that also, this movie also shows how dangerous that is and how clouded people's vision can get. And like, you know, I don't know if we've talked about the ending yet, but like, she basically says Allah Akbar at the end. I mean, she doesn't say those words,
we'll
but
there.
Like, she basically says that too. Like,
that's a great lead in. Because see, for me too, what it made me really consider is,
you're done with this, yeah.
Jorge, when you're talking about like insanity, like you know, a tumor and her just being insane and having and this, et cetera, et cetera. If enough people believe the thing, it's no longer insanity because sanity is based on norms,
right?
Right. But if this was one person, you know, if one person's got the like, for instance, the story of any religion, not just Christianity, but if it was one person. They're insane, but if it's a few thousand, it's a religion. And that's the thing, though. That's not limited to religion. It works the same way with nationalism. Mm-hmm. It works the same way with all sorts of narratives, right? And so it's based on norms.
It's crazy that we've basically lived this to the extreme in the last couple of years.
Well, fuck yeah. And you mentioned Allah Akbar at the end. It's also, it doesn't limit it. So, like, I like Eastern mysticism stuff because I grew up in oppressive Western religion with Mormonism. So I'm like, oh, well, good thing Eastern mysticism's out there. It's another fucking vehicle to it, though, because you got like these dudes in Vietnam lighting themselves on fire, like the cover of the first Rage Against the Machine album.
Yep.
I think that's fucking cool. It's the same thing.
I think that was Tibet.
It's the same thing. Like, regardless of their reasons being different, it's still like, let me light myself on fire.
Yeah.
It's still like fucking.
It's God is good. I'm doing this for God. And like.
Well, that's why it gets kind of transcendent to me. Like, because they mentioned William Blake, and William Blake was this poet, among other things. He wrote a book called The Marriage of Heaven and Hell. And they sum that up in the end.
He did a lot of the Divine Comedy too.
Right.
Divine Tragedy.
And they sum that up in the end that there's like this thing where it isn't just about the pain or the ecstasy or the joy. It's about like, it's about both.
Yeah.
Like, it's about like surrendering to the intensity of the experience. But then that last shot is really condemnatory because she's, you know, we see this view of them bowing down before her as she's exalted and has the wings. And then it cuts just long enough to her fucking screaming in agony, burning. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't stay on it. It stays just long enough for it to stick around. Second.
And like I actually read an interview with Rose Glass about the ending. And she was saying that, you know, these kind of things happen in real life. Like this kind of delusion happens in real life. And she's like, I really wanted to show both sides of it. So I wanted to show the reality where, you know, Maude has made this sacrifice and all the people kneel because they now have proof that there is a heaven and she is a saint and she's ascending to heaven. But then they flash the other reality where she is just burning alive on a beach as people like watch on in horror. So yeah, there is no ambiguity, but I really well, like that they did that.
I would hate
it's the ambiguity of perspective.
I would hate to say that there is no ambiguity,
because that means there's no perspective.
I think there's two ways to look at it, right? Like you can look at it in the way that, yeah, there's zero ambiguity. It's her delusion and she's literally burning to death. But you could also look at it another way and saying that like there's different ways to see the event. As a non-believer, you're seeing her burn to death in agony. But if you're kind of a believer and you're into it, you see.
Well, just like I mentioned about the monk lighting himself on
exactly,
fire.
Exactly.
Because I'm willing to look at that differently because I'm taking this whole other views too. I'm like, oh, that's cool. They're doing that. That's a statement they're making. They're all statements. Like lighting yourself on fire is lighting yourself on fire.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I'm not even judging. Like, I'm not even saying that's bad, but it is lighting yourself on fire.
Yeah.
Over your views.
Well, and we were talking about multiverse shit in kind of like a joking manner earlier, but this to me kind of speaks of the same, you know, speaks of the same language where you could have two battling viewpoints of the same moment where viewing it, you're like, well, obviously she can't have angel wings and she can't be ascending to heaven. But why can't she?
It's subjectivity. Correct.
Why yeah. can't she be having this moment where she actually is ascending? And to the humans that are seeing it, she's just burning to death.
At the same time.
Exactly.
Well, because I think that's the thing. We do live in that kind of... That's what I was saying earlier. That whole lumping everything into good or bad, heaven or hell, that because it helps whittle the world down. The world's not actually like that. It's yeah. both. It's all things all the time. You know, so I think it's a very comfort. It's a means of managing things to just say, oh, it's good and bad. And I don't just mean like how we talk about a movie being good or bad, but I'm talking about moral value judgments, right, you know, yeah. of what side does this belong to? Because the truth is there's a lot more fucking ambiguity than there is clarity about these things,
yep.
you know, and someone could hear that and be like, you know, that's your view, not mine. And that's ambiguity right there.
Yeah, it's ambiguity all the way down, brother.
Yeah, because we're having conflicting perspectives about that.
Which speaks
to... But when are we going
to
talk about dicks?
Was there any dicks?
There's no dicks. There's
no dicks.
There wasn't any. There wasn't dicks. Even like. Were there even oh, any men in this though? Movie?
There was. Yeah, the dude she fucked.
There was some tubby.
For like. By four the way, seconds.
Very great fucking scene there actually, where she's fucking him, and then he like turns her over, and he's like, he's all settled.
He basically rapes her.
There's yeah, no basically. And she just because she said stop, and then yeah. he just kept going. I mean, she just
and also her. Like. Like just how meaningless it was. Like, dude. Like, and
no, see, but that was to me. That was. That scene was one of my favorite scenes, and I know that sounds really stupid to say because, for me, I think this movie
maybe
really
you can stop saying favorite. You can say a very effective scene.
No, because I mean, it was.
I'm just kidding.
It was both because, like, I think this movie actually really benefit from being released in the pandemic. I think if it would have been released normal time in the theater, it wouldn't have hit, at least for me, so much because
why is that? Yeah.
Well, because for me, a lot of this movie really revolved around Maude's just sense of loneliness altogether. Like
her
I think,
solitude, her,
well, yeah,
her alienation,
because,
right.
Well, because that's the thing is she was alienating herself from everybody and just burying herself further and further in her relationship
yeah,
with
she's
God.
She's like excommunicating she, everyone from her own head.
What she really basically. Needed was a fucking friend, you know, like she had nobody she could turn to. She went through this traumatic thing and the only thing she could find was God. And she runs into that girl on the street and that girl kind of just like insults her, but then later comes back and tries to offer her the friendship that she needed so bad. But she's already so deep in her views at this point that she just pushes this woman away.
Well, and also, good or bad, she's on a different planet. Yeah, she's on a different planet than that girl.
Yeah, at that point,
whatever, like, she's talking about.
At her that point, like, you got a friend in me, it just doesn't hit the same.
She is not on the same fucking planet.
Well, yeah. Right, and then so for that scene, you know, this is where she's really questioning.
It's like when I ran into Jorge and I'm on bath salts. Like, I am. We're not on the same dimension.
She's already been like kind of questioning her relationship with God this whole time. And like now, once it gets to the point where she's really like, well, I thought this was my calling and now I just feel spited. She has nothing to fill that loneliness. Like, her purpose was filling that loneliness where she was trying to convert this woman because she was working directly for God. Like she says at the end, I'm here and I'm not alone. But at this point, she's alone. She feels like she doesn't have God anymore. She feels like she doesn't have... you know, that woman, I can't remember her name, but that woman anymore. And then when she gives that guy
or her job, employment,
well, yeah,
or her sense of purpose.
But even that, so yeah. Like, but so of now service. She's just alone and she finds this guy in the bar, they meet eyes and then she gives him a hand job. And if you look, like if you watch when she's giving him a hand job, she's trying desperately to keep eye contact like the whole time.
She tells him to stop.
And she even says, not yet. And then he goes, oh, sorry. And then she just like, looks so disappointed. And it's like, well, why would she be disappointed that it's over when she's just giving him a hand job? Because she was dying for any kind of connection.
Yeah. She was trying and then to get that intimacy.
She was trying to have that intimacy with the fat guy too. And then she had like the flashback of her PTSD of collapsing the chest. And then like, I think when he raped her and she said no, and then just shut down, she had like one, she was just trying to get through it, but at least there was like some kind
of, it was like one of the connection. Final tethers.
She just like, I'm not alone, but like, even when I'm with somebody, it's horrible.
Well, you feel more alone because yeah. She's like, is there anything lonelier than being with someone and feeling even more alone than when you're fucking by yourself?
Yeah. And so I think being released in the pandemic where we've all spent a lot of time with ourselves and like really learning like who we are and what it means to be alone. And you know, like it, I think that made the movie more impactful. Like, cause you really do like, I don't know about y'all, but over the last almost exactly 1 year, I've learned more about myself. I've learned what I like, how it feels to be alone, like not being able to see your friend. Like, we're lucky that we have this once a week. Like, there's people like Chris has seen like nobody in a fucking year. That's wild. And you know, like usually those movies that have like all the like, oh, deep feelings and stuff, like human life is what's scary. Like, you know, no, but like, yeah, being alone, like that's fucking terrifying.
Well, it's not only being alone, but it's like being alone also thinking that you have this outworldly presence there. I think that's even scarier.
Well, they want you to suffer on its behalf. Yeah. The most holy thing you can do, the best thing you can do is suffer. I mean, literally, that's where it goes. Because, I mean, she's when she puts the shit in her shoes, I wish I hadn't seen that part in the trailer, by the way. Because it's great body horror. It is a great, and when she's walking, the sound is like, you know,
it's like a squishy. Yeah,
that's just fuck. But and that's the thing. Like, this is not outlandish. Like, this is like people putting themselves like self-flagellation and masochism, and they're exalting it as something. It's something I'm going to get a reward for this. Well, someday I'll be rewarded for my pain. It's based on that idea.
Either that or it's punishment for her sins, because like every time
There's hell and heaven right
now. Every time she did something like that, it was because she did something that she was ashamed of, you know, like she had the argument or whatever when she burned her hand and then like
the Smashing Pumpkins. And what do I get for my pain?
Yeah.
You know, like you said, dude.
Yeah. See, it all comes back. Cyclical.
This, you know,
that's what we call professional podcasting. And I still believe
that I cannot be saved.
Yeah. That, dude, they go hand in hand.
Jesus was his only son for you.
You think that pull was a mistake? No, that's highly calculated.
Damn. Why are you, is that something you learned in the last year as well? Getting all calculated with your views?
No, I just smoke more weed and things just come to me last minute.
Just less and more weed.
I think it's exposure to me. Like, I've infiltrated your subconscious, dude.
No, because he was doing this shit before you.
That's a fucking lie.
No, that's true.
I let my megalomania settle in for a second.
That's a good song, dude. Oh, is that's it? A garbage.
That's
ass
a
song.
Garbage song.
Melomania, you're not Elvis. Is that what you're talking about?
Some, yeah, you don't know fucking Jesus.
Yeah.
That's not good.
That's not a yeah. It's a bad song.
I fell off with them when they hit Morning View. I know some people are like, "Oh, it's a great album." It's like, not good, not good.
But yeah, same odd.
Yeah, same odd. I think it's I think it's a real, real admirable effort. I mean, I don't even want to call it admirable effort. I think it's just a great movie.
Yeah. And I think it's funny you guys thought I was going to come in here and shit all over it.
I wasn't sure.
And I also think it's funny there's people in the Discord who are like, what's the greatest movie of the year and why is the answer St. Maud?
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, you know what, though? Everyone that has given feedback on there, it was hard not to say anything. But yeah, it seems like
I love everyone. That shit when people are on the Discord are like, Rhett, what did you think? I'm really interested to see what you thought about this movie that you've been waiting for a year. And Rhett's like, guys, you understand we're going to do a show, right? I can't just give you all my thoughts on it right here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hit me up in DMs.
The funny bit is, too, is when, like, I guess the expectation is that Rhett's going to be the only one that has, like, you know.
Yeah. What's A24? He's going to suck its cock.
Well, that's not, and it's not that cut and dry, which we've established clearly.
Exactly.
Because Green Room, you know, St. Maud.
You don't like Green Room?
No, you don't. You supposedly, the narrative is you don't like A24. That's not true. You say that.
I don't say that.
You kind of do.
You also say things like.
I say most A24 films are all style, no substance. They look pretty, all of them. But most of them are not good. See,
that doesn't go with what's happening.
What, most of? Most of.
You haven't seen most A24 movies.
I mean,
I've seen almost all
the A24 horror films.
And you wouldn't say, even then, mostly, most of them are not.
I saw that stupid Fabric one before you did.
Most movies in the genre suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's not A24.
Most everything
Even if
sucks.
I agreed with you.
Most everything in the everything yeah. sucks.
Most sucks.
I mean, no, most sucks are good.
Yeah, so I know.
That's true. That's the thing right there. Why have we, like you said this before, like if something sucks, it should be, it's like, that's good.
Yeah.
We've made it like a shameful thing. Like, oh, that sucks dick. It's like, good.
Yeah, like I've been trying to say, like, stop saying cocksucker because I'm like, that's insulting to people who suck cocks. Like, those people are great people. You're doing great work.
It's like you're really discouraging people from sucking cock.
Yeah.
Like, good way to get someone not to want to do that.
But, like, what do you call somebody when they're just being a real cocksucker?
Well, I think it's partially there's a few things in the views. It's antiquated, right? But it has cocksuck. Like, it has a real.
It's all the K's. That's what it is.
Cock, 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 cock. Yeah, it's fucking.
Cow.
It sounds aggressive. It sounds nice, like German.
Germanic fucking.
Yeah, we just need shit.
It's very aggressive.
We need to come up with something else that's that fucking aggressive. But
cocksucker. You know. Yeah.
That's why fuck is so, like, good.
Yeah. Because it's got the f in the k.
Yeah.
You just Dane Cooked us right now.
Did I?
Yeah, that's a Dane Cook joke.
What is?
He talks about the word fuck.
Oh, fuck him.
Well, yeah. Well, but in that literally that same
in that
yeah, he goes, is this a f-? And then the
I read the Etymologicon, right. So I learned like the scientific reasons why.
Oh, fuck
it's
off.
It's enjoyable to say.
What did you think
are we back on St. Maud?
Yeah, yes. I would be remiss if I didn't bring it up.
That's what she said.
When she goes to the lady's house, and then
Amanda,
from her perspective, she's demonic.
She's a demon,
and her face gets all stretchy and shit.
One of the things watching through the movie that there was a couple moments
I liked it
that St. Maud's face did some weird distension thing, and I'm like, well, what are they doing? Because as a viewer, either she's doing this IRL or we're seeing her mouth through her delusion and her eyes through her delusion.
Because you notice how it stops when somebody walks in.
I'm looking at it and I'm a little bit confused as to why visually
they're
showing it to us.
That's why it becomes, like when I use the word term fever dream, like I think of like Black Swan. Because you have an unreliable narrator. You have a narrator whose point of view you can't necessarily trust, or you're not sure what's real and what's not. But so they start showing you a lot of the thing is from their point of view, but then the movie starts switching. And then you don't know what point of view you're seeing it from. And I think that's intentional. So I get
So
it's meant to disorient you because it's saying both of them are there.
I understand the intentionality of it. I just think that that one of the few things in this movie that comes across kind of goofy to me.
I love that long, long face bitch.
But specifically that scene in the bed where Amanda like turns into a demon is super effective, and I think an actually horrific moment in filmmaking.
Well, yeah, because I honestly thought like, oh shit, she was the devil. Like that's wild. And then
she might be, dude.
The whole movie.
That's why it's cool.
The whole movie.
That's why it's a whole. See, wait a minute. I get what he's saying, and that's why I got the second time. I'm glad we got there. Consider that it's a universe where she is the devil, and Maud is a saint. But God is this fucking jerk who likes watching things suffer for it.
Which is not...
That's horror.
Which is not untrue to the canon.
Right. So that's another view, a way to view the film. And that's like, you know, so...
But I think that's the wrong way to view the film.
Well, no. Well, that's... I don't think
I think, honestly, the last shot of the movie throws all that out the window. It's like, no, this whole movie is Maud's delusion, which is why only...
This dude's never seen Annihilation and it shows.
That's right. I've seen Annihilation like 8 times.
Okay, well then,
you
should get this part then.
Get what part?
That there's a duality to it.
There's not. Because there's finality in this one. There's ambiguity in Annihilation. This one, the final scene where she's burning alive. The director has even shown that final scene shows without a shadow of a doubt, removing all ambiguity. The director says there is.
No. It's no longer the director's film anymore, dude.
You're wrong.
It's ours.
No. What you're talking about is...
There'd be a lot more tits in it.
Well, you're coming from us having the disagreement right now is showing how it's not objective. It's not...
And that's why you're wrong.
There it is. Yeah. If there is an objective viewpoint, we don't have it.
Okay. So what if God was one of us?
That's true.
Just a slob.
What I'm going to tell you, Matt,
every one of us
is that this isn't an autobiography about a person who thought they were a saint. This is a fucking horror movie.
Well, of course it's not an autobiography because she set herself on fire, so it would have to be a biography. Mm. She couldn't write it post-mortem.
She was narrating her own life, dude.
She could have written it from another realm.
She also could not have died.
I mean, that's true.
In your face.
Just because she was on fire doesn't mean... I mean, she was at the ocean. She could have just gone into the water.
Yeah. So put that in your views and smoke it.
I mean, I would.
I would. I'd smoke her. I'd smoke that bitch's ashes.
Do you have an apple?
Pipe. Saint Maud, super enjoyable, and I think it well worth the time.
Will you watch it again?
No.
Really?
Nah.
Second view is pretty rewarding.
I did get a little more from the second viewing, but as I was watching it, I was like, okay, like I can skip most of it. Like I watched the whole thing, but I felt like I only really needed to fill in the little gaps I missed.
I felt that way the first time too, but that's why I feel really, it benefits that I saw it in a drive-in, which made me like all but have to watch it again.
Yeah, to view the finer details.
Yeah, to get the other view. And I'm telling you, when that last 30 to 40 minutes hits, like with the fireworks, and then from then on out, like that stuff was a lot stronger.
That was an epileptic seizure, right?
I don't fucking care.
I think the levitation was just like her
even
viewing.
Calling something some gibberish like an epileptic seizure is still interpretive. Like it's just gibberish.
No, I mean,
or that scene when God is speaking to her in Welsh. Dude.
Welsh. I looked
that
it up.
A cockroach.
Get in my fucking belly.
That was good. Dude. That was like the witch. That was so like, bad, that was dude. Good. It was like Black Phillip, but fucking.
Black cockroach.
But yep. Black D. Black God. Mm-hmm. What? Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute.
How come there weren't? Oh, yeah, there was. There was.
No black D's?
I was going to say black people, but that's not true. The lady was getting it on with the black lady. So that's good.
That's true.
So we good. Saint Maud, you good.
I was like, are there any men?
Saint Maud, you're woke enough for this table.
You safe.
Oh, speaking of the girl she was speaking
of which.
Like, when she comes into the house and, like, she just, like, sees her again and she goes, Maud, your face. I'm like, Yeah.
Why the face?
Yeah. That's good.
No, man. And those, in that moment when Amanda just fucking lays into Maude at the party, and I'm like, oh, man, I know what that
feels
like.
Yeah, that was hella uncomfortable.
Fucking hits her, dude. She smacks her as soon as she starts talking about anything sexual related to God, which is a blind giveaway.
Smack her. Oh, man. I remember I was in like maybe like ninth grade, and I hung out with a bunch of goth kids and like little edgelords, and we were in fucking Ralph's one day and talking to the lady that worked at the bakery, and she was saying something about the Bible, and I said, like, how do I know that wasn't just written by some dude while he was jerking off? And the fact that I said jerking off while talking about the Bible, she flipped her fucking shit.
Well, because what you did, you had her heaven, God, and her hell, which is her repressed feelings about her own sexuality, and both were fucking set on fire right there.
Yeah.
That's what you did.
By a fucking 13-year-old boy.
This is what he does.
Yeah.
This is what I do.
All right, well, that's the Who Goes There podcast for St. Maude. Go watch it, dummy.
Yeah.
Don't be stupid.
Do that.
Yeah, do that.
You've what are we watching? Waiting for it for a year.
We're not watching anything next week.
Next week is episode.
We're watching everything.
I'm not watching shit.
Episode 300.
I've got it all up in this fucking claptrap brain of mine.
Wherein we will be beginning a two-part episode.
Two-part episode.
Of retrospective going through the films of the decade that was the 2010s.
Yeah.
Yep, the post-Limp Bizkit decade.
Well, I mean, I think there was a little bit of Limp Bizkit in 20.
The post Limp Bizkit decade was like the 2000s.
Yeah, I mean, there was some Limp Bizkit.
You mean like after 2000?
I'm just going to call it the post Arcade Fire decade because after all the albums after The Suburbs suck dick.
Oh, but The Suburbs hit so hard right now, dude.
Yeah, he okay, so.
Oh, my God. He texted me the other day. I texted this. So I started The Suburbs, like, I started listening to The Suburbs again on Saturday just because I was in that kind of mood. And something about that album in particular in my late 30s hits so fucking hard right now, dude. There's one song in particular when he talks about like asking God to send him a daughter. And then, well, if it's too hard, send me a son. And I'm like, damn, dude, that's fucked.
Damn, bitch. We don't get it. We don't got fucking kids. But he sends me the text like, it hits fucking a lot harder when you're in your late 30s. Yeah. And I'm all, I feel the same way about Hybrid Theory, which is Linkin Park's first album.
Oh, I know that.
And he's like, wait, what?
Because I knew that's what he wanted me to respond.
I was proud of that.
You know what I listened to the other day? Blood Sugar Sex Magic.
Not good.
That was a good trip down memory lane.
Not good.
That's a good
one. I'm being really mean to Red Hot Chili Peppers now. It'll come back around in another 5 years.
I don't
years.
Think.
That was, no, I mean, like, so I think Red Hot, I mean, yeah, this is off way off topic. Red Hot Chili Peppers pre-1995.
You just think it hasn't aged well, right? Because it's Anthony Kiedis.
I don't think it was ever good, dude.
Yeah. Blood Sugar Sex Magic. Nah.
She has it. Yeah, fuck
that
song's good.
Dude.
Nah, dude, that shit sucked.
The band is
the only good thing that Anthony Kiedis ever did was fucking Cameo and that Charlie Sheen movie where he was driving in a car.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Nah. What about Point Break where he gets shot in the foot?
Also that. It's dope. Good. Yeah.
No way, dude. Blood Sugar Sex Magic. That was a great record. Mother's Milk. That was a good record, too.
If you see me getting high, knock me down.
Yeah.
It's dumb.
They're like the Sublime of that era.
Sublime was also the Sublime of that era.
Sublime was the Sublime of the later era.
No, look, I think people are being a little meaner to Chili Peppers.
Who's people?
Well, that's because they did. Because
it's very fashionable to make fun of Red Hot Chili Peppers the last probably 5 years.
30 years.
No,
five years, my ass, dude. They did Californication in like 99 and everybody loved that record. And then they played like Danny California for the next 20 years.
Come on.
Scar Tissue was a great song. That was the first song.
Soul to Squeeze?
I hate that.
Oh, see, Soul to Squeeze is prior to that. Soul to Squeeze is amazing.
It's been a very and it's very sweet.
A whole roller coaster, but I'm on my feet. Take me to the river, let me on your show. I'll be coming back, baby, I'll be coming back for more. Take a dang, cause ain't a damn gone. The band, but number, 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 song, song, song. I cannot forget, but I cannot remember, so I won't remember, suck a dick,
but I'll never forget, but never.
That's good stuff. That's, and they had the video at the freak show. That was in fucking Coneheads.
That was on Coneheads. That was the actual Coneheads.
He has better lyrics than Tech N9ne, dude.
That wasn't even on an album, bro.
I'm fucking shutting down.
He's shutting down like Robocop.
Technical Nine.
Technical Nine does a lot of rhythmic stuff, but if you look at the lyrics, nine. It's like, oh, you're fucking saying gibberish. Cool.
Yeah, basically. All right, idiots. That's the Who Goes Our Podcast for episode 299. Next week, we'll be talking about a lot of movies.
64 movies.
If you weren't angry about that autism bit earlier, then you're going to be angry about that. Guaranteed.
Or the Chili Peppers thing.
But, dude, ain't nobody angry about the Chili Peppers.
Dude, they're fucking sucking.
Nah. Flea good.
Flea's fantastic.
That boy fucks.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
He used to play bass in
His
Fear.
Fucking bass line at the end of Soul to Squeeze is fucking amazing.
His bass line and everything.
And his work with Mars Volta? Shit. Adams for Peace with Tom York?
Just because, you know, what I'm telling you is just because Flea was in Red Hot Chili Peppers is the same reasoning Wes Borland was in fucking Limp Bizkit.
No. That whole, the band, you're talking about Anthony Kiedis.
Yeah, he sucks.
Limp Bizkit, the whole band sucks except one guy.
That's Red Hot Chili They're Peppers. All good musicians.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Boomst.
Limp Bizkit.
But they're not necessarily good artists.
Limp Bizkit.
They're not really good artists. No. I'm sorry.
Wes Borland's the only
I get what you're saying. Sam Rivers is a competent bassist. He's also just ripping off a bunch of other dudes
Chad Smith is an okay drummer.
Chad Smith is fucking good.
Chad Smith is
John
an amazing
Frusciante
drummer.
John Frusciante is fucking good.
And he looks like Will Ferrell.
Don't be saying amazing drummer. Bruh. Don't. Bruh. Please.
Bruh. Limp Bizkit. He's better than all you. Of them suck please except don't. One guy. Chili Peppers. All of them are good don't. Except one guy.
This guy literally just said Chad Smith is an amazing drummer. And I highly disagree.
He's pretty good.
Thank you very much. Good night.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.